Blog Talk Radio.
Your place, love connection. Your place of prayer, love, acceptance, compassion, and empowerment. Here's your host, Dr. Susie.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to Your Place, Love Connection Bible Study, your place of prayer, love, acceptance, compassion, and empowerment. We are so excited to have you with us today and every Tuesday from 7 to 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. We'd like for you now to join us with devotion. This evening, we'll have Mr. Bryant sing a song for us. I will read the scripture. If you'd like to pull out in your Bible, 2 Corinthians 5, 17 through 18. And Mark, if you would pray, I'd appreciate that.
All right. Again, thank you all for joining Your Place Christian Church, where God is exalted and the word is explained. Today, we'll be singing, Lord, I'm Available to You. You gave me my hands to reach out to man, to show him your love and your perfect plan. You gave me my ears, I can hear your voice so clear. I can hear the cries of sinners, but can I wipe away their tears? Lord, I'm available to you. My will I give to you. I'll do what you say do. Use me, Lord, to show someone the way and enable me to say, my story is empty and I am available. My story is empty and I am available to you, to you, to you.
Amen. Amen. Yeah. We'll be reading 2 Corinthians, the 5th chapter. I'm going to start at the 11th verse, and the focal verses will be 17 and 18. We are God's ambassadors. Because we understand our fearful responsibility to the Lord, we work hard to persuade others. God knows we are sincere, and I hope you know this too. Are we commending ourselves to you again? No. We are giving you a reason to be proud of us so you can answer those who brag about having a spectacular ministry rather than having a sincere heart. If it seems we are crazy, it's to bring glory to God. And if we are in our right minds, it is for your benefit. Either way, Christ's love controls us. Since we believe that Christ died for all, we also believe that we have all died to our old life. He died for everyone, so that those who receive his new life will no longer live for themselves. Instead, they will live for Christ, who died and was raised for them. So we have stopped evaluating others from a human point of view. At one time, we thought of Christ merely from a human point of view. How differently we know him now. Verse 17, this means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old life is gone. A new life has begun. And all of this is a gift from God. who brought us back to himself through Christ. And God has given us this task of reconciling people to him. Amen. I've read to you 2 Corinthians, the 5th chapter, the 11th through the 19th verses, and reading from the New Living Translation.
Dear Lord, we thank you for this day. We thank you for this hour, just to come before you, to give you honor, to thank you for your grace, and thank you for your mercy. Today, as we praise your name, today as we honor you, we ask that you come into our hearts, that you dwell with us as we speak to others around the nation, to speak of your goodness and to speak of your glory. We ask that you touch someone's heart. We ask that you touch their minds, their souls, their bodies, their spirits. We ask that you bless those that are on the telephone and the families of those that are here. Have your way and let your will be done. Let us exalt your name today and forevermore. Today we just come and we say thank you for your salvation. Thank you for your death, burial, and resurrection. Thank you for blessing us each and every day just with strength and health. Thank you for the privilege and opportunity to lift you up and to praise your holy name. We thank you for the opportunity to exalt your name. Bless this service. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. We are so excited. Amen. Thank you, Brother Mark, for that word and the wonderful song. We just thank you for that. Today will be the last week in which we deal with this topic. Mr. Eric Jefferson has led us to the study regarding new beginnings, and tonight is no exception. We'll be talking about new beginnings with our new relationship with God. We previously talked about new beginnings as it related to the new birth, and we asked questions about what was the first birth, what went wrong, what was the need for the birth, how can we be born again, and then what do you get for this new birth? We talked about new covenant, why a new covenant, what was wrong with the first covenant, what activates this new covenant, can we misuse the covenant? And if so, what happens? How is the new covenant delivered? We talked about all of those preceding things, and tonight we're going to talk about new beginnings, new relationship with God. Mr. Jefferson, are you on the line?
Yes, I am.
Well, we are ready. We are ready, 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 ready.
Well, good evening. Thank you, Dr. Susie, and others for devotion, and thank you all for being with us the past couple of 3 weeks. This is our fourth week on this new beginning, and I've thoroughly enjoyed being with you. So tonight I want to look at new beginnings and new relationship with God. We've had, we've heard our foundational text, and I just want to run through the 17 and 18 of the New Living Translation for background for you. What this means is that those who became Christians became new persons. They are not the same anymore, but the old life is gone. A new life has begun. All this newness of life is from God, who brought us back to himself through what Christ did. And God has given us the task of reconciling people to him. So new beginnings, a new relationship with God. And what I want to look at tonight is that because of the death of Jesus Christ, it prompted a new relationship for those believers with God. And what I want to look at is the first part of that is what starts your new relationship with God. And if someone could get Acts 2, 38 through 39, that's Acts 2, chapter 2, verses 38 and 39. What starts your new relationship with God?
Acts
2, 38
and 39.
Do you mind if we do a roll call? Absolutely. I apologize. Actually, yes. So who do we have?
Yeah.
Lester Carver.
Brother.
This is James.
This is Britt.
and Brother Bryant.
And myself, I think.
And Dr. Susie. All right.
Yes, sir.
So, chapter 2, Acts 2, verses 38 through 39.
Says, and Peter answered them. And Peter answered them, repent, change your views and purpose to accept the will of God in your inner selves instead of rejecting it, and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of and release from your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise of the Holy Spirit is to you and for you and your children and to all and to and for all that are far away, even to and for as many as the Lord our God invites and bids to come to himself.
So we're talking about new beginnings, new relationship with God. So in that passage, what starts our new relationship with God?
Repenting, turning away from serving sin, and being water baptized in the name of Jesus Christ.
And if we do that, what is that promise?
It says, ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit.
So the question is, does that seem like a new relationship based on what we know God's disposition was with man and why Jesus had to come and come to the earth and die?
Yes.
To be crucified.
Yes.
So, that being said, why did Christ have to die? If it says that this, each of you must turn from your sins and turn to God, and be baptized in the name of Jesus, and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, then you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. So, why did Jesus have to die? Why couldn't it have been that, you know, we said, hey, I'm repenting of my sins and I'm turning to God and I want a new relationship?
This is Britt. He would have been the
sacrificial lamb. He was a sacrificial lamb for us.
Our sins. And his blood had to be shed in order for that to happen.
Correct. God demanded a blood sacrifice. And he wanted, and help me out, Dr. Susie and Dr. Nooks, and he wanted a pure blood sacrifice. Isn't that correct?
Go on. Amen.
Yes.
And there was only one person who fit that bill, right?
Amen.
So,
amen.
So why, because y'all are off of quiet tonight, so why the blood sacrifice?
You're going to have to ask specific people.
We're all friends. They can jump in there, then I'll start calling folks out. But why the blood sacrifice? I mean, I think people that are out there need to know that, because we can't. I think sometimes we try to, and not all, but I think a lot of times we try to disregard the importance of Jesus' sacrifice and his blood being shed. And I don't know that we really convey that to new Christians of why that's important.
Well, here, let me take a stab at it. Lester Carver, is in the Old Testament, the blood sacrifice of a pure lamb for the sins of the people of Israel was sacrificed once a year to atone for their sins. And of course we know that was a shadow of what Jesus Christ was to accomplish. We also know that the life of everything is in the blood. So in order for mankind's sins to be paid for and man to be restored to a place of favor in life, we know that man's sin, Adam's sin, caused death to come upon man and that we lost our Holy Spirit. So then life had to be restored through that perfect blood of the Son of God, Jesus Christ.
Amen. Amen. Anyone else want to add to that? So we start this new relationship with God through turning from our sins and then being baptized in the name of Jesus for the forgiveness of our sins. And then we get a promise that we will receive the Holy Ghost. So now I want to look at, now that we've got this new relationship, and we know that in relationship, and I'm speaking worldwide, it takes work to make those relationships work, I mean, to stay together. And so what I want to look at now is who holds this new relationship with God together. And I want to look at two verses. I want to look at Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9. It's Ephesians 2, verses 8 and 9. And I want to look at Titus chapter 3, verses 5 through 8.
Ephesians 2, 8 and 9 reads from the New Living Translation. God saved you by his grace when you believed. And you can't take credit for this. It's a gift from God. Salvation is not a reward for the good things we've done, so none of us can boast about it.
So what does that say to you, Dr. Susie? As we look at this, who holds this new relationship with God together? Is it us?
Well, not? It clearly says God saved us. It says God saved us. We've moved from... God saved us. We've actually moved from this is a unconditional covenant because it says God saved you through his grace. Oh, was that the aha word? Okay.
That was aha. Unconditional.
Ooh. Okay. So all we had to do, according to this text, is that God saved us when we believed. And, you know, sometimes the reason why this, I think, says we can't take credit for it, it's a gift, is because sometimes we always feel there's something more we have to do, that we're not worthy of it, that, you know, that we need to add something to it. But
amen.
We don't have to
amen.
Do anything at all. You know, we don't have enough to pay God back.
Right.
And it's not important enough because it's a gift. It's free. It's given out of love. It was a sacrifice of love by him being on the cross to shed his blood, that blood that covered the sins of the multitude that only Christ, the unblemished lamb, could cover. And so this is the gift that we just have to claim, and we do so by believing.
Amen. Thank you. And I've, you know, most of you that have been on here with us for a while have heard me say this, and it's absolutely true. There was a time for me when it was like, oh, that's just too simple. That can't be. Nothing can be that simple. And it was the act of accepting a gift was the simple part. Now, don't get me wrong, meaning that, you know, our struggles with trying to live a godly life is not simple, and it is that. It's a daily walk. It's a struggle. It absolutely is. But to realize that God's gift to us was as simple as believing, accepting Jesus as a personal Savior, and for me, taking another step of public profession of baptism, and then beginning to find a relationship through the Holy Spirit with God. because y'all heard me say I went down a dry devil and just came up a wet one, because there wasn't an instant conversion of living the right life for me. I'm not saying that God can't do that in people, because God can, but it wasn't for me. And so I had to grow into this relationship that I have with God now, and it's maintained on a daily basis, and talking with God daily and walking with God and seeking to be a blessing to others and not seeking for others to bless me personally. So that's right. We can't do anything to earn this gift.
Brother Eric, I think that's really important. I think it's really, really important, because one of the young men that was sharing with me the other day was saying that it's difficult for a new believer. He was a new believer. And he was saying, I don't always do what's right. I don't always do what's perfect. I forget. I may say a bad word. I may do something, and I feel bad about it. And I just feel that, you know, God did all that for me, and I'm not worthy. I keep making mistakes. But see, for me, that's the whole thing about it, is Jesus knew when he was on the cross 2,000 years ago what I would do, who I was,
right,
my faults, my shortcomings, my good points, my nasty points, my ugly points, my terrible points, the things that I think are unforgivable, where I can't forgive myself. He knew all of those intimate details about me, my lying, my cheating, whatever I did that's not of God. He knew all that about me. And yet and still, he went to the cross for me. He personalized it. For each and every person out there that's listening, he personalized it. He knew you in his godliness. He knew you and what was going to come. And he got on the cross and he made the sacrifice so that we could be restored in our covenant relationship with him and with God.
Amen.
With the Trinity.
And Dr. Susan, that's absolutely correct. And he still knows us. And if the group will indulge me before we go to Titus 3, the Lord, Lord, you have examined my heart and know everything about me. You know when I sit down or stand up. You know my every thought when far away. You chart the path ahead of me and tell me where to stop and rest. Every moment you know where I am. You know what I'm going to say even before I say it, Lord. You both proceed and follow me. You place your hand of blessings on my head. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too great for me to know. I can never escape your spirit. I can never get away from your presence. If I go up to heaven, you are there. If I go down to the place of the dead, you are there. If I ride on the wings of the morning, if I dwell in the furthest ocean, even there your hand will guide me and your strength will support me. I could ask the darkness to hide me and the light around me to become night. But even in darkness, I cannot hide from you. To you, the night shines as bright as day. Darkness and light are both alike to you. You made all the delicate inner parts of my body and knitted me together in my mother's womb. Thank you for making me so wonderfully complex. Your workmanship is marvelous, and how well I know it. You watched me as I was being formed in utter seclusion, as I was woven together in the dark of the womb. You saw me before I was born. Every day of my life was recorded in your book. Every moment was laid out before a single day passed. And how precious are your thoughts about me, O God. They are innumerable. I can't even count them.
Well,
they outnumber the grains of sand. And when I wake up in the morning, you are still with me. So not only did he know, he still knows. But yet, in spite of all that, he did go to the cross and willingly gave his blood, his life, his blood for us. And we
can't. My question to you, though, Brother Eric, and I'm doing the Eric thing now. You know, you got a history
good,
with
good.
It. I'm doing the Eric thing.
That's for real. That for real.
And,
for real question.
Oh, it's a for real question. You know, here we are, you know, dealing with the movie Selma that just came out. And you know, many of us herald Martin Luther King, and February is coming, and there's Black Heritage Month around the corner. And a young man said to me, I was shocked and totally flabbergasted. It just knocked me out when I discovered that, according to the movie, that Martin Luther King had an indiscretion. He fell short. Now, my question is, what makes, you know, the Catholics were going to make him a saint, but when they found that out, they stopped. But what makes him different from the Pope, who sins in some form or fashion because he's a man? And a person that, even though he had a different type of sin, it was a sexual sin, is a sin nonetheless. So, you know, how do we deal with that? Because there are people who are striving to be in this relationship, to have this new beginning. How do we handle that?
Well, we handle that because we're not perfect. None of us are perfect. None of us will reach perfection until we see Jesus, until that time that we are in his presence. And so doesn't discount the work that Dr. Martin Luther King did. It just shows that he was a man. He was a man, as the popes are. You know, they don't talk about the scandals of popes messing with little boys. Isn't that a sin? Well, the acts that they were doing there, isn't it a sin for some of the stuff that we say or think? You know, even though someone else may not know it, if we are human, and we are, we will fall short. But it does not discount the work that one does for the betterment of the kingdom. I mean, it doesn't.
Peter was
in the inner circle. And he was a cusser and a fighter and a fusser and denied Jesus and all of that. I mean, even those who walk with Jesus still fail, which is why he had to do what he had to do. And so we can't allow people to think that, you know, you're looking at man and you're going to elevate them to where they are not going to do wrong, because we all will do wrong. We all will. I mean, that's just the reality of it. We all will. But when you know that you have, then you can go and ask for forgiveness and repentance and start working on putting that type of behavior behind you. I don't know, because I wasn't there, but I venture to say and think that based on that scene, if that's how that truly happened, that Martin didn't have that problem anymore, because he saw the hurt that it caused his wife and being, you know, being touched by that and saying, you know, probably not the brightest thing for me to be doing. I'd like to believe that. I don't know. I wasn't there for sure. But I'd like to believe that.
Well, James, you said something that I think is key. Go ahead, James.
I was just going to say that this is what the good news is about. This is what we just read about in Ephesians 2:8. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's the gift of God. And this is where we've got to stop trying to make people out to be super people. And this is that vein of Puritan vein that is in the church, that has been there for a long time, that says that people that are people of God don't mess up. And that's just false. And it always has been false. The only one that didn't mess up was Jesus. And it makes people feel like they can't be a part of God. And we as Christians have to let them understand that we all mess up. We messed up. And I think it will change the dynamic of church and evangelism. The people stop acting like they're so good and that they've never done anything. Because people in the world need to understand that Jesus loves them, God loves them, even when they messed up, and even through their mess ups, and this is saying that it doesn't have anything to do. Our salvation doesn't have anything to do with our works. It's just when we accept God by faith and believe, and I mean, Moses killed somebody, committed adultery.
Amen.
People in the church. I mean, you just go right down the line. You know, Peter got mad, cut off a guy's ear. You know, and just all through the Bible, you find people that are now saints. The Catholic saint canonized them, but they did all kind of stuff wrong.
Yeah, what did Paul do? I mean, Paul was putting Christians in jail and having them killed and stoned and, and he's got most of the writings in the New Testament. I mean, so that's what it is, Dr. Susie. And I think Dr. Nunes is absolutely correct. I mean, it's in our churches. We can't have new people coming in there and seeing old people, and the people sitting there, I've never done anything. I've been in this church since I was brought into the church from birth, and I've been here, forever, which is totally not true. Totally not true.
Right.
But yet we want people to believe that, and that's absolutely wrong. I think personally that's a sin, because we lead them astray. We're lying to those people, to those new Christians. I mean, it is a daily effort. It is a daily walk. And I mean that from the bottom of my heart. And I know personally my relationship with God is strong. And every day, just last week, personal testimony, I had some problems with my phone, and there was a case on it, and it was cracked, and I went to the guy that sold to me. He says, we don't have any of those in stock, Eric, but I do have some in my other store. And so I drive out there, and, I'm of dark skin persuasion, and the store I went to was a very, very light-skinned persuasion, and they just kind of looked at me like I was nothing. And so finally, when the guy finally got around talking to me, I had an attitude. I ain't gonna lie to you. And he started talking to me, and I said, I just don't even want to hear it. I'll just go back to where I bought the phone. And when I left there, I had to ask the Lord's forgiveness there, because I didn't have to have that attitude. Even if I didn't want to hear what that guy said, I could have been more respectful than I was. And I had to ask the Lord to forgive me in that instance.
This is Dr. Susie. And, we're talking about how do we operate when we fall short in the midst of the fact that we have a covenant relationship with God. And I just got to, you said something about it does not invalidate the work that that person is doing for the Lord, nor does it invalidate the work that God has done, more importantly. What God has done is what you worry about. What God has done is what is the strength and the power and the fire that you need. We don't have no heaven nor hell to put nobody in. So we don't even need to worry about what people think. You need to be concerned about your position in Christ and that relationship. And so as we look at that, when we accept the Lord, when we start to develop that relationship, we are put in a position, we are positioning in ourselves for salvation. We are begin it talks about working out our soul salvation. It talks about studying to show ourselves approved, but we're in a posture in which we are set apart because we belong to the Lord at that point. So we are already in the posture where we belong to God, and according to John, it says that he won't let anyone pluck him from his hand, from my perspective.
Amen.
Yeah. There's Calvin and Wesleyan out there. But.
So amen, Sister Dr. Susie. Let's look at Titus 3, verses 5 through 8, and who holds this new relationship with God together. Titus 3, verses 5 through 8. Can someone read that for me?
Not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us, through the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us abundantly through Jesus Christ, our Lord, that having been justified by his grace, we should become heirs according to the hope of eternal life. This is a faithful saying, And these things I want you to affirm constantly. And those who have believed in God should be careful to maintain good works. These things are good and profitable to men.
Well, Dr. Nooks, as we look at this, who holds this new relationship with God together? What does that say to you? Because I got it right there in 5. He saved us not because of the good things we've done.
That's right.
Because of his mercy.
According to his mercy, he saved us. So in spite of who we are and in spite of what we've done, God shows us mercy. And I'm so glad about that. Mercy and grace. Because it's not
mercy
what we've done.
Mercy and grace. Whew. Mercy and grace. Hallelujah, Lord. Thank you.
Can we flesh out what that mercy and grace means and what does that mean, Brother Eric, when God is merciful and gracious to us in that context?
Well, he's providing for us something that we don't deserve and something that we haven't earned. He's giving us favor of which we've not earned and which we don't deserve. And that's his grace. I mean, it's kind of like, you know, when you did something wrong and your parents were going to punish you and they decided not to, that was mercy, you know, because you deserved that. And they decided that they wouldn't do it and they went another route. And, you know, what we deserve, from my perspective, I just want to touch base on that. From my perspective, what we deserve based on our lives was that we deserve a death and eternal damnation. But we don't have to endure that because of God's grace and mercy that was distributed through accepting his son Jesus Christ's sacrifice. So I don't have to pay that price of what I deserve. I don't have to be sentenced for my crime.
Yeah. And this is James. I think something also is important in that fifth verse is the renewing, the washing, and regeneration that comes through the Holy Spirit. So when we are saved and we invite Christ to come into our lives, the Holy Spirit comes into believers, and the Holy Spirit must be in believers. If you don't have the Holy Spirit, then you're not a part of Christ. And when the Holy Spirit comes in you, the Holy Spirit teaches you and transforms you and makes your thinking different, your acting different. This is where we start growing, when we yield to the Holy Spirit. And the things we used to do that didn't bother us before bother us now. I mean, and it can bring us back to where we should be in relationship to Christ. So the more we grow in grace and in mercy, the more we yield to the Holy Spirit. We walk in newness of life. This is where we start. But we need to be honest about where we are and stop acting like we're something that we're not, and understand that what we become and the relationship that we have in God is because we yield to that Holy Spirit and we let God work on us and work
Amen.
In us and through us, and then,
Amen.
then we can start, you know, understanding understanding God more, because God's Spirit working in us helps us to understand who God really is, and the power of God, sometimes we get our minds all messed up about what our concept of things is, instead of relying on God to teach us and to grow in us and transform us. And this is important, is that Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Brother Eric, I wanted to say something else quickly too. I used to struggle as I was growing in the Lord, the idea of me being righteous. You know, I'm like, righteous?
Ooh.
I'm not righteous. And I struggle with that because I saw it so in such a pure sense, you know, righteousness of God, the righteousness of God. And when I look at that, we have to understand that it is, I think as Brother Nix was saying, as we were talking about grace and mercy, it's nothing that we do. It's nothing that is within us. we don't do any works of righteousness or haven't done, nor we were saved as a consequence of some righteous thing that we did. But all of that was imparted to us by Christ and the work that he did. So when I finally understood that, it was like, oh, okay, I can relax, because it's like, man, I'm never going to be righteous. I ain't never going to be righteous. Woo! Righteous.
Yeah, amen, amen.
And so that's special to understand. Yeah. That's okay. I just wanted us to understand that. That's also part of the grace and mercy.
Thank you for helping us to flesh that out. I want to get through these other two before we get to before time gets too far away. So now let's look at John 3:3-7 and John 3:16-18. St. John's 3:3-7 and St. John's 3:16-8. And what I want to draw out of this is that what comes with this new relationship with God. We know what holds it together. We know who holds it together. We know, you know, what starts it. So what comes from this new relationship with God? So someone can read John 3:3-7, please.
This is Brett. Back at it. Jesus answered and said unto him, "Very, very, I say unto thee, except one be born anew, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Nicodemus said unto him, "How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born?" Jesus answered, "Very, very, I say unto thee, except one be born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I say unto thee, ye must be born anew."
So we must be born anew, and that's that new beginnings piece. But what comes, Brett, when you read that, what comes with this new relationship with God?
From this text, which, you know, I've heard ever since I was a kid in church, what I get of it is that when you are born the second time by being immersed in water, which we call baptism, and you come out of that, if you really believe and you have repented of all your sins, God's going to put on a new skin. It's going to give you a new body. It's going to give you something that is more precious than you had before. So therefore, all your sins are being washed away. You're a new person. So now it's like taking a baby and he's got up, he's starting to walk. You're walking again, but you're still a baby when it comes to the Spirit. So you have to continue to pray. You continue to have to be in your Bible. You continue to have to be in the church, in Bible study, and in groups that will help you to strengthen your faith. And your faith comes by hearing. And all that is part of the Spirit of Christ. That's what I get from it.
Amen. But you also get a promise there, or a statement that I assure you, unless you are born again, you can never see the kingdom of God.
That's right.
That's pretty direct, isn't it?
Oh, yeah.
I assure you, unless you are born again, you can never see the kingdom of God. You've got to have a new beginning. You've got to have a new relationship. You've got to have a new covenant. You've got to have a newness, as Brett said, of who you are, if you want to see the kingdom of God. And to reiterate that, let's look at John 3:16-18. Can someone read that for me, please?
I can do that one also. "For
Thank
God
you.
So loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him shall not perish, but have eternal life." Did you want me to go further?
Yeah, go to 18. Go through 18.
No, not a problem. For God sent not the Son into the world to judge the world, but that the world should be saved through him. He that believeth on him is not judged. He that believeth not has been judged already, because he has not believed on the name of the only begotten Son of God.
So God is, in that text, Jesus is saying that those who have believed, who have this new relationship, this new beginning, shall not perish, but shall have eternal life.
Right.
So what are we getting with this new relationship? We're getting the promise that we will see God, we will be in the kingdom, and that we will have eternal life.
Amen.
Which denotes that this plane that we're on right here, there's something other than this. We're struggling down here to get, you know, what is it? Who has the most toys wins? You know, not. That's not a true statement. You know, and I remember my uncle, and I think he still has that quote. He said, my uncle at a very early age, when he bought a Corvette, and he had this picture of it, he had this phrase that said, "The only difference between men and boys are the price of their toys." So, I mean, it ain't about, you know, who gets the most wins. So there's something else besides this plane that we offer. And so this new beginning, we have been ensured that if we take that new beginning and that new covenant, we'll see the kingdom of God, we'll be with God, and we'll have eternal life. And I think that's what it's really about, isn't it, for us? It's, you know, I pray every day, you know, Lord, I want to live in a way, conduct myself in a way, that I will be able to hear you say, "Well done, thy good and faithful servant, come in." I mean, isn't that the Christian desire?
It is this Christian desire, Brother Eric, and this is Dr. Susie, and what's really important about that is why we're called the love connection, because that's what God's love is about. God is about love, and this covenant is about love. And so it's so important for us to see how God's motivation towards God's people is love. And that's what's supreme. That's why we were talking about last week. It's not the law, it's not the letter of the law, but it's the spirit of the law. It's the love of God that transforms. It's the love of God that strengthens us, that grows us, that helps us to become. And it's the same type of love that we're supposed to be showing to one another as they are on the journey, who maybe have not come where we are, or we who may not have come where others are. And as we manifest God's love in the midst of that, we all grow in this relationship, in this covenant, so that we're not on this journey alone. You know, and I think the image Amen. That I have is when Martin Luther King, they were marching together. Do you know how they were marching?
Arm in arm.
They were locked arm in arm. Yeah.
Arm in arm.
So
yeah, I mean, that's what we're promised. And so the last point that I want to review is, how close is your new relationship with God? And one scripture, Romans 10, verses 9 through 15, and I already have it, so I'll go ahead and read that. A New Living Translation, Romans 10, verses 9 through 15. "For if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is by believing in your heart that you are made right with God, and it is by confessing with your mouth that you are saved. And the scripture tells us anyone who believes in him will not be disappointed. Jew and Gentile are the same in this respect. They all have the same Lord, who generously gives his riches to all who ask for them. For anyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. But how can they call on him to save them unless they believe in him? And how can they believe in him if they have never heard about him? And how can they hear about him unless someone tells them? And how will anyone go and tell them without being sent?" This is what the scripture means when they say, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring the good news.
Amen.
So how close is our relationship with God? It's in our belief and in our mouth, according to this scripture, correct? If you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And I think it's really important, as you were talking about, Brother Eric, you were talking about, it's the same for the Jew and the Gentile, Galatians 3, 26 says, for you are all children of God through faith in Jesus Christ. And all who have been united with Christ in baptism have put on the character of Christ, like putting
Amen.
On new clothes. There is no
Hallelujah.
Longer Jew or Greek, slave or free,
Hallelujah.
Male or female, for you are all, and I emphasize all, one in Christ Jesus.
Amen.
And it says, and now that you belong to Christ, come on now, you are true
Amen.
Children of Amen.
It didn't say
we
him, did it, Dr. Susie? Didn't say only
no.
the tall ones. Whoop, whoop. Didn't say the short ones. It said all.
Amen.
Mm-hmm.
That's shouting news there. It said all. And so we talk about this new beginning. We started a new year, and we all make those resolutions, and you know, and we make promises, and we do things, and you know, we try to celebrate the beginning of a new year, and we should also celebrate the new beginning of a new relationship with God. So we should do that every day, because the Word tells us that every day is a new day. Every day is a new opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
Every day is a new beginning. So why shouldn't we carry that spirit in our hearts, that every morning we are allowed to open our eyes and know that we are clothed and in our right mind, and God has blessed us to be able to look up, that it shouldn't be a new beginning. It shouldn't be. It should be a new covenant. It should be a new relationship with
every
our
day.
Lord and Savior. It should be new.
Every morning.
Amen.
New mercies every day.
Amen.
Brother Lester, Brother Mark, what y'all thinking out there?
Well, I'll tell you what I have on my mind. I was
yes, sir.
Thinking of the statement that someone made, he who has the most toys wins, right? Well, there is a similar spiritual idea when you talk about the idea of the rewards that we get for maintaining fellowship with God and doing God's things, God's way, right? And there are going to be three groups of people in heaven. There are going to be people with a full reward and people with a partial reward and people with no reward. So when you talk about those who win the gold, those will be those with a full reward. You talk about those who win the silver, those will be those with a partial rewards. And, you know, we can call it the bronze if you want, you know, but having no reward for eternity is like eternal paupertude. Is that a word?
Well, I tell you this, Brother Carver, and I appreciate that, and the word says that. But if, in fact, the Lord only sees fit for me to have no reward and to get into heaven to be with him every day, I win. Now, I may not have all the brass on my chest that some other generals have. That's okay. I'll still win. Because
they say heaven is
going to
be great. Heaven is going to, it said that even the least in heaven is going to be greater than John the Baptist. And he was the greatest man that ever lived, God said.
Therefore, if I get to heaven and I'm not fortunate enough to have any rewards, I'll still win.
However, while we're teaching people about relationship with God, you want to give them all of what's available so that
Absolutely.
Their relationship with God here can be the most it can be, because there's more available than salvation itself. And so, you know, that's a whole nother teaching.
Well, but Brother Carver, that's like being in a relationship. I mean, You know, you don't want to marry somebody or get connected to somebody and only give them partial love. You don't want to half do the relationship. You don't want to tiptoe marry somebody and love them part of the time or only do what you feel like when you feel like it. I mean, you when you go into it, you're going into it to give it your best. And that's what we're encouraging everybody to do. But whatever that, however God manifests that as judge, we will receive, but we will do our personal best. Amen? We will give it our
Amen.
Best, our best 110% for the Lord, all that we do. Anybody else have a
Amen.
Testimony? Something they'd like to share tonight in relation to this new relationship or covenant? Brother Mark?
This is Mark. I am eternally blessed because he decided to die on the cross. He decided to die for my sins, to make me righteous, to justify me, to sanctify me, to give me grace and mercy that he gives every day. And although I don't deserve it, he gives it to me every day. Despite my shortcomings, despite my sins, he gives them to me. And so I'm eternally grateful.
Amen.
Amen.
Well, Dr. Susan, I'm going to turn it back over to you. Thank you all for this month and our topic, New Beginnings. And so let's try to make every day a new beginning in our relationship with the Lord and Savior. Dr. Susan, I'm going to turn
Amen.
Back over to you for
Amen.
Prayer concerns and praise reports because I do have a praise report.
I'm just saying, go ahead and put your praise report out there, and then after you finish, would you close in prayer? And ask how we got 7:57, so we got time for a couple of praise reports and to close with prayer.
Well, for me, it's my Aunt Joyce, who has been battling brain cancer in Ohio, just had a MRI done this past week, and they didn't find any new growth. Actually, they didn't find any growth. So very, very happy
Amen.
About that, and she's doing a lot better. So praise be to
Amen.
God for that.
Amen. I ask for prayer for a new ministry opportunity. I ask that you would continue to lift me up in prayer and for a relationship with others and with God.
Amen.
I have relationships. Don't misunderstand that. I have relationships. I just want it to be fabulous, fantastic, even more so than it is now. So don't misunderstand that. I got the relationship.
This is James. I ask for prayer for my sister who has recently been diagnosed with colon cancer.
And then we'll lift her up. Well, let us go to the Lord in prayer. Gracious Father, we, your humble servants, we take time out to thank you. We thank you for the study of this past month of new beginnings and new relationships and how we can be new with you, understanding that you hold those relationships together. There's nothing that we have done or anything that we can earn, but it was because of your goodness and your grace and mercy, Father, that allows us to be a part of you. And we thank you for that, Father, for you loved us before we could love ourselves, before who we even knew who we were. We ask that you would hear the prayers that were lifted up, Father, and those that were not, for you know those situations, and we know that you're able in your infinite wisdom and love to provide support and guidance and healing and strength for all those that were mentioned. I ask specifically for everyone on here, Father, that you would touch our hearts, our minds, and our souls. We may be renewed in your spirit and in the truth about you. And we know that when we serve you, your word tells us that you hear our prayers and you listen and you take care of our needs and we'll be a hedge around us. So, Father, we thank you for that. But most of the things, thank you for the things you pray, who willingly gave his life for our prayer.
Thanks for listening to Your Place Love Connection, your place of queer love, acceptance, compassion, and empowerment.
Blessings. God bless you all.